Good morning, good morning, good morning, and we are so blessed to have you join us, our family here, Pastor Paul and Helen, all welcome you this morning to Faith Lake Church. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Are you expected? Because yes. We sure are. Amen. God is a good God. So let's just open in prayer. Oh, Father, we give you all the glory and all the honor for who you are. How we love you and praise you with all our hearts, Lord. Thank you for all our blessings. Your blessings are abounding towards us every moment of the day. Thank you for helping us recognize, Lord, and take hold of everything that you have for us, that we don't miss out on anything. Glory be to God. Because you knew all about us before we were even born. And you destined us from the beginning to share the likeness of your Son. Oh, Father, you have so much for us. Thank you, for you are our guiding light through the darkness, through the temptations that come our way. And as we focus on you this morning, Father, it is so good to come into your presence and praise you, for you are holy. Holy are you, Lord. So, Father, we leave all our cares, all our anxieties, all our fears. There is so much happening in the world right now. But we focus on you, Lord, and we trust in you. And we put all the fears, all our cares, all our anxieties at your feet, for your measureless grace strengthens us, Father. In our weakness, you are our strength. So, Lord, thank you that you inhabit the praises of us today, Lord, your people, and our friends watching through the internet, Lord. Bless them, Father, and thank you for speaking to them personally today, right where they are, for you are a personal God, and you know everything about us. Oh, we give you praise and honor your name. So let's begin. So wherever you are, why don't you stand up and join with us? Just stand up right where you are and give him your all. Hallelujah. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. He created
You'll never be the same. Oh.
Draw aside, prioritize Him. How can you get to know someone without the intimacy? Or as we read in God's Word, Jesus is the groom. Oh, hallelujah, coming back for the bride. And we are the bride. But we need to come close to Him, to get to know Him. Is that the desire of your heart today? To come closer with the Lord. All you have to do is to believe, to receive, and press into Him.
Oh, Morning.
Good morning.
God bless you.
God bless you too.
We've noticed that we have many nations that are viewing our word that God gives us. And so we welcome you and acknowledge you and encourage you in your faith. It's so important that you take the time to make the correct decisions. You know, we're always busy, we're always in a hurry. But it will serve you well just to be quiet and not to be pressured into moving or performing. You know, you really need to hear what God is saying to you, because he says if you don't understand the message of the kingdom of God, the devil takes it out of you. So the object is the good soil. So there's four types of hearers. Four types of hearers. Only one out of the four types hear and profit by what they hear. And the determining factor is whether they understand what's being said. Right? So we need the revelation. So you need to set yourself to receive the revelation, the unfolding, the understanding of what God is sharing with you. Because as you've heard this morning, the Word of God is alive, it's powerful, and it can break open the confusion, the areas where you have not the knowing to proceed forward. You need a breakthrough. You need the way through. And the Word of God will give you the enlightenment. It will give you the understanding. It will quicken your understanding, inspire you with understanding. Like, you don't know what to do because you don't know what to do, but when you know what to do, you don't have a problem. You only have a problem because you don't know how to handle it. And God gives you the understanding and the direction and the clarity to make the right decisions to move forward. And this is why we're talking today about right submission. Right submission to God. Right submission to God. Right submission to God releases the power of God. And so I'm either motivated by fear or faith. Fear that everything negative is happening and can't change. But faith in God that in him I can find my way through and that all that I need will be released for me. As he said, I know what you need before you even ask. So that should be the line that you base your whole approach to decision making. He knows what you need. How do I increase my income? He knows what you need. He knows what you need to do. And he'll reveal it to you. God the Holy Spirit lives in you if you've given your heart to him. And he is commissioned to lead you into all of the truth, the things to come. To be in the right place at the right time for the blessing of God to deluge you, to overflow you, a deluge of blessing. It's an overflowing. Your cup is full and overflows with joy. The joy of answered prayer. The joy of an intimate touch. The joy of the empowering, quickening presence of God.
Amen.
This is available to you. That's why you need to set yourself, Holy Spirit, I want to hear what you're saying today. So you need to do that. Why else would you come? You know, you pull up to a petrol station or a gas station to get fuel to drive your vehicle. That's where you go there. You know, some of them have got super shops, and you can buy all sorts of other commodities there. But the reason you go there is basically fuel. So when I come into the presence of God, I'm looking for fuel. Fuel for living. Okay? I come expectant to get the fuel. I get the fuel and then I'm on my way. Well, praise God. That's what we need to be doing. We need to be expectant. I've set myself to hear. You see, if you've got an issue with failure, with rejection, despair, despondency, cynicism, there's no submission to God. It's tough, isn't it? But that's the truth. You see, James 4:7 tells us that if I'm submitted to God, the enemy flees. Mm-hmm. Let's just have a look at it. James 4:7, I'm reading out of the Amplified. So be subject to God, resist the devil, stand firm against him, and he'll flee from you. And the resist there is fight the good fight of faith.
Yes.
It's not passive. It's offensive.
Yes.
You know? You take the initiative and you move forward. But you're inspired by God. What are you inspired with? By submitting to him. He quickens your understanding. He inspires your thinking. And you intuitively know a scripture that you can put in your mouth and release that powerful double-edged sword of the Holy Spirit into the fray. And believe me, when the Holy Spirit is speaking through you, the Word of God, the devil's gone. You see, if he's hanging around, you have to find out whether you're in right submission. And that's what we're dealing with here today. Right submission, and you'll see the end of the devil. If you don't understand what submission is, you know, husbands and wives. A husband can often want or demand submission of his wife, but he's not in submission to God. It doesn't work. We'll see that also in Matthew 8. The centurion demonstrates clearly what submission is for authority to be released. All right? And man was created to have dominion over what God created. And he gave them, the man and the female, the dominion together to rule. He never gave any man, any woman, dominion to rule or dominate another person. Never. So there's no, you have not got a God-given right to dominate your wife. If you submit it to God, you'll find that the inspiration and the leading and the direction that you get is to love her, cherish her, protect her, provide for her, partner her. And she has responsibility. She needs to partner. She needs to submit. If you love her, there's no issue with submission. Praise God. I'm glad I came.
Amen. We are too.
All right. Matthew 8:5. When Jesus entered the village of Capernaum, a captain in the Roman army approached him, asking for a miracle. Most of us, most of the time, need a miracle. When Jesus entered the village of Capernaum, a captain in the Roman army approached him, asking for a miracle. You see, I come into the presence of God, Why do I bother going into the presence of God? Because he's the creator of heaven and earth. He owns everything, knows everything, and has everything.
Yes.
If he gives you his word, it's a done deal.
Amen.
If he says yes and amen to your prayer petition, it is on its way. And I can rejoice.
Amen.
With what? Confidence. Why? Because he never breaks his word. This Roman centurion approached Jesus asking for a miracle. Lord, he said, I have a son who is lying in my home, paralyzed and suffering terribly. Jesus responded, I will go with you and heal him. Now look at that. That's instantaneous response to request.
Yes.
Instantaneous response to request.
Amen.
When you call on the name of the Lord Jesus, he is there to deliver.
Hallelujah.
So be encouraged. Get it through your thick head. God loves you intensely. And he is motivated towards you by his love for you. And he doesn't want you suffering. And he responds instantaneously.
Amen.
You've got to believe it. You see, doubting Thomas, he said, I'll only believe it if I see it. If I cannot put my fist through his side and my fingers through the nail deposits, you know, where they put the nails in his wrist, I won't believe. Well, praise God. Now, you see, even with that, Jesus turned up and showed him that he was raised from the dead. And at that point, Thomas said, my Lord and my God, I believe. And Jesus said, yeah, you believe now, boyo. But blessed are those who believe not seeing, yeah? An instantaneous response. You come into the presence of God in the name of Jesus. You are in his presence. How do you know? Because he says so. Take his word of integrity to yourself as real. And the moment you do that, you step from the natural into the spirit realm, the kingdom realm.
Hallelujah.
Right? And Jesus responded, I'll go with you and heal him. So I love the way he speaks, eh?
Yeah.
I'll go with you right now. And what's the intention?
Heal.
He's going to heal him.
Yes.
So he's speaking the end result in the statement of compliance.
Yes.
He offered it. It's there. He says yes, and he's going to do it.
Hallelujah.
So like when I approach God, Hebrews 11:6 tells me I need to approach him knowing who he is, what he can do, and know that he's the rewarder of those who seek him. In Matthew again, he says, if you ask, you'll receive. If you seek, you'll find. If you knock, it'll be opened.
Amen.
Well, you've got to come to that point where you actually believe it. I'm asking, Lord, how do I go forward now? You know I've got an increase of outgoings. I need an increase of income. How do I do that? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Does he already know what you need before you ask? Well, how do you approach him? Expect him. You see, I've got to come knowing, like I go to a gas station, I go to a fuel station, and if they've got no issue with supply, I'm expecting to get fuel. I go into the fuel station to get fuel. And I get the fuel.
Amen.
I've got to go knowing I'm going to receive. What's the point of going, you know, I ask my wife, can you give me a hug? And she turns around and she says, I'm in the middle of washing up. I'm cooking a cake. I'm doing this and doing that. Yeah, but I need a hug. Turn around, just give me a hug. Right? Not withholding. Freely giving. Yes, wet hands and all, mate. I need the hug.
Yeah.
I'll take the soap suds. I'll take the lot, flour, the egg and oil, whatever. Bring it on.
Yeah.
Give me the hug.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you just need that hug. But you know, when you come into the presence of God and you're looking for a hug, you can get it. Your Heavenly Father will hold you, love you, overflow you with His love and assurance. And He'll speak a word into your heart that just is the right word in season to pick you up, open you up to what has to happen and connect you with it. You're right. Just like Elisha's servant, remember? He went out in the morning and saw that I was surrounded by the Syrian army. He came back in with trepidation and fear, yelling at Elisha that the Syrian army had them. And the prophet Elijah asked God to open his spiritual eyes that he could see. You're right. And so the provision that God has for you is available upon seeing. Right? What a difference it makes when you see. If you receive a direction and you know the vicinity, the region, but you're looking for a specific thing in the region, and somebody tells you a landmark here or there to take you to the place you need to go, and you say, yeah, I know that McDonald's on the corner there, yes, and a Shell garage, and yeah, that's right, and the post office, yeah, and away I go. You see, though, what I'm seeing this as they're telling. They're talking to me, but I'm seeing something. A vision is unfolding to me.
Yes, amen.
You're right? Information. So the servant of Elisha was seeing as it was, and he had a problem and he needed a solution. And Elijah said, open his spiritual eyes. That's why when he says in Philippians 4, 6 and 7, be anxious for nothing. See, Elisha's servant was anxious, intrepidated, fearful, and he was blind to what God would show him to be the solution for his situation. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So I come to God. So he says, be anxious for nothing, but through prayer, let your requests be made known to God. This Roman centurion came into the presence of Jesus because he needed a miracle.
Yes.
You follow what I'm saying here? So when I come into prayer, not only does Philippians 4, 6 and 7 lead us into the fact that we'll be established in supernatural peace that surpasses what I see in the natural, because I get a fresh vision and expectation of what provision God has for me. Whilst I entertain fear, whilst I'm influenced by fear, lack, want, right, not enough, whilst I'm influenced by that, I'm not open to what God wants to show me.
Amen.
So there is another vista, another vision, another view that you can have through prayer to see what you need to do. But knowing that and knowing that God already has it, right?
Amen.
Elisha heard what the servant said. He didn't freak out. He just asked God, what's going on? He moved from the natural into the supernatural. right? And he saw that those with him was greater than those against him. And then what did he do? He got told to go down there after he got the direction to pray. Lord, touch them with blindness. So they all lost their sight. What sight? Their natural sight. Then he went down and told them what God told him to tell them. The person you're looking for isn't here. He's yonder ways, and I'll lead you there. Isn't it marvelous? And as a result of that action and what happened there, they established peace then for a number of years following. So, like, God, he knows what's going on. Don't rush into anything and make hasty decisions. Hasty decisions impoverishes millions. Right? Right submission releases the power of God. So we're moving towards it. Jesus responded, I will go with you and heal him. So my point to you is, God doesn't have to, you know, I'll heal him. No, I won't heal him. I'll heal him. No, I won't heal him. None of that. I'll meet their needs. I won't need to meet their needs. There's none of that. Certainty. Say certainty. Certainty. God's word gives you certainty. It gives you clarity. It gives you his intention, his motivation towards you. It should establish you in peace so that you then can ask him, open up my spiritual eyes that I'll see. And the first way that that happens is understanding. Understanding comes with the entrance of his word brings light or understanding, revelation. How did God resolve the issue he had in Genesis 1:2? He spoke light. And everything that followed that has its basis in light, its foundation in light. The substance of faith is light. Revelation, wisdom of God. So when I know what to do, I don't have a problem. I only have a problem when I don't know what to do. Simple, isn't it? Mm-hmm. But it's true. If only I had a hammer, I'd be able to bang this nail in. If I had a hammer, I'd hammer in the morning. Elisha's School of the Prophets. They were extending the building because they ended up with too many trainee prophets. They wanted to extend. They didn't have the tools. They borrowed the tools. And the head of the axe come off and went into the river. Lost it. They freaked out. The prophet wouldn't know what to do if God didn't reveal it. Do you understand? Moses wouldn't have known what to do unless God revealed it. The Apostle Paul wouldn't know what to do unless the Spirit of God revealed it. None of them knew what they did, and we see the great success outside of what God told them to do. Joshua had success until he goofed off and compromised himself through doing something that God didn't tell him to do. So if you trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, he will direct your path. So I ask him, what do I do in this situation? So God told him what to do. You've got to have faith when God tells you to do something. He got told to get a stick and throw it in where the axe head went down. And then the axe head floated to the top. Now, what do you think fetched that axe head from the bottom? An angel. But you have to have faith. Throw a stick in there. What about Moses? You know, the water was putrid. And he got told what to do with that. And on other occasion, they were feeding people and they put in weeds that were poisonous. And then they were told what to put in it to neutralize it so that everyone could eat. But you've got to have faith to do that, haven't you?
Yes. Amen.
I throw a stick in the water for an accident. March around the city walls several times. What? Crazy. Crazy. Crazy world, you know.
Yes.
Crazy to the world system.
Yes.
But it demands faith.
Yes. Amen.
You're right. And so once I receive the word from God, I need to obey it. My obedience is two things. It says two things. The first thing is that is my level of worship. That is the supreme demonstration of your worship to God. Not music, not singing, your obedience. We see the first occasion of worship is Abraham taking his son to sacrifice at the word of the Lord. Right? That was the first occasion, first recording of worship. Obedience. So if you love me, you'll obey me and keep my commandments. We still let go?
Yes.
All right. Jesus responded, I will go with you and heal him. But the Roman officer interjected, Lord, who am I to have you come into my house? I understand your authority. Okay. What's he understand? Whose authority?
The Lord's authority?
Yeah, the Lord's authority. I understand your authority. For I too am a man who walks under authority. Now you've got to understand, why has he come to ask Jesus to heal his servant? Because of the fame of Jesus that went right through the whole land. Nobody spoke like him. Nobody had the authority that he had. And nobody did the works that he did.
Amen.
You right? No, they even marveled that even the demons acknowledged his authority. And it blew the Jews out. You know, they just, wow, man. Even, who is this person that he's teaching with authority? What is this new doctrine? They were amazed, astonished at the wonder, the gracefulness of his words, the wisdom of his words. They were astonished at his authority that released the power of God to demonstrate it. Demonstrate what? The kingdom of God. Yeah. And so he had heard about him. No doubt he'd even come across him. You know, Jesus drew big crowds and it was a contentious issue. Still is. Any time you've got a crowd, the government always gets nervy about it. Right? Always. So Pontius Pilate had his soldiers in and doing their work. This guy's a centurion. He's in the leadership. He'd be in the know. So he would have had reports given to him about this man, Jesus of Nazareth,
yes,
that's drawing massive crowds.
Yes.
Do you follow?
Yes.
Okay, the local police. They talk to Sydney. Sydney talked to them. If there's any issues, they get the information come. You're right. And so this is a centurion. He's not an enlisted person. He's not a corporal. He's not a sergeant. He's a centurion. He's over. Okay. And they don't get that position without earning it. All right. And so when he says, I understand your authority, do you think he understands Jesus' authority?
Amen.
Yes. And how does he express it? I understand your authority, for I too am a man who walks under authority. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, all of them asked Jesus, where do you get the authority to do these things? Where? You see, you can't have that level of manifested power without being under authority.
Amen.
Right? And Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father do. And I only say what I hear the Father say. And my Father's at work, so I need to be at work right now. I'm not standing here talking to you clowns any longer.
Amen.
You're right. Okay. Who gives you the authority? Oh, praise God. Matthew 28. I understand your authority, for I too am a man who walks under authority and have authority over soldiers who serve under me. So because he is under authority, he has authority. And I can tell one to go and he'll go, and to another come and he'll come. I command my servants and they'll do whatever I ask. So I know that all you need to do is to stand here and command healing over my son, and he will be instantly healed. For I know that all you need to do is to stand here and command healing. But so healing, there's no distance for healing in the spirit. It reaffirms and strengthens your faith, doesn't it?
Amen.
It strengthens your expectation. So I know that all you need to do is to stand here and command healing.
Hallelujah.
Over my son, and he will be instantly healed. So the woman with the issue of blood, the moment I touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. So that they set a faith goal. They set a perimeter. They voiced their expectation very clearly. Yes, amazing. John 11:22. Okay, now here's Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And Lazarus is dead 4 days. Verse 20, John chapter 11, verse 20. And when Martha heard that Jesus was approaching the village, she went out to meet him. But Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, now isn't it interesting? Martha the fusser, not Mary the word person. You right? Now listen to this one that always gets a bad rap, Martha. Listen to her heart. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33, you got to choose what tree you're of, right? In 34, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Right? Now listen to Martha. Verse 20, and when Martha heard that Jesus was approaching the village, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, my Lord, if only you had come sooner, my brother wouldn't have died. But I know, say I know, I know, that if you were to ask God for anything, he would do it for you.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Listen to this. The key part is, I know. You see, I know. Abraham was fully persuaded. He knew God would do what he said. He came to that place. He wasn't there initially. But he grew strong in faith as he increased in his understanding. The more he come to know God, the more confident he was for the miraculous to manifest. But I know that if you were to ask God for anything, he would do it for you. And Jesus told her, your brother will rise and live. Praise God, isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
You see, now out of the abundance of Martha's heart, she's sharing that confidence that comes in the certainty of trusting the integrity of Christ.
Amen.
All right? And so we come back to the centurion. I know, see, I know. It's been settled. You understand? The reports that he's received and the demonstrations of the results of healing that Jesus had been involved with, this centurion, I know.
Yes.
Right? So I know that all you need to do is to stand here and command healing over my son, and he will be instantly healed. So he's saying, I acknowledge that you have authority over sickness, infirmity, diseases, leprosy, demonic, mental things, maimed people, you know, all of the things that is in disorder in humanity, you have authority over it. So all you have to do is stand here and command healing, and he'll be instantly healed because he's under authority. So submission to God, submitting to God, is opening the door for supernatural power to manifest.
Hallelujah.
Right?
Amen.
So right submission to God releases the power of God.
Amen.
Jesus was astonished when he heard this, and he said to those who were following him, he has greater faith than anyone I've encountered in Israel. Greater faith. Wow. You see, we know that he said in Luke 17, verse 6, okay. If you have even the smallest measure of faith, it would be powerful enough to say to this large tree, my faith will pull you up by the roots and throw you into the sea, and it will respond to your faith and obey you.
Amen.
You see, so it's interesting the obedience pointed out there. And it will respond to your faith and obey you. So here's this authority again. Do you understand?
Yes.
Now the centurion said regarding Jesus, given that you have authority, all you need to do is to stand here and command. Right? You find yourself at various times standing, having a debate. Will God or won't God? Will God or won't God? Will God come through or won't he? You see? So I have to come to this place where I know whose I am, who, in whose presence I'm standing, and in whose word I am trusting.
Amen.
Can you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So I have to settle some things in myself. So what is it that disqualifies my faith from releasing the authority to get the job done? The self-image that I have. Right, how I'm seeing myself. I'm not seeing myself in the presence of God. I'm not seeing myself indwelled with God. I'm not seeing myself inspired by God for direction, for the way ahead, for how to get the needs met, etc. I'm not seeing myself the way I should for the authority to work fully. Okay, so let's go to 1 John 4, 4. Little children, you can be certain. I love that word. Little children, you can be certain that you belong to God and have conquered them. For the one who is living in you is far greater than the one who is in the world. Praise God. And since we're there, go to 1 John 5 and 4. You see, every child of God overcomes the world, for our faith is the victorious power that triumphs over the world. So who are the world conquerors defeating its power? Those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So praise God. So to how I'm perceiving myself, and he says in Luke 16, as I pointed out to you, it's a small measure of faith. You don't have to have large faith. Jesus spoke of that man's large faith as a result of him being a Gentile and not even being a covenant person. Say covenant. Right. One of the things with the problem with our self-images, we haven't made or taken the time to enter into a personal covenant with the living God. We haven't done it. You'll see it. Those personal encounters with God and personal covenants with God, you'll see with Adam, Cain, Seth, Enoch, Noah, goes on to David and all the way down, you know, Jeremiah, Isaiah, all of them, to Abraham, the disciples, they had the encounter with God and then they entered into covenant with Jesus. The Apostle Paul, the same, you know, on the road to Damascus, he didn't know who he was, but he knew he was in trouble. You talk about complete submission, right? And then we see, and then in the, you know, the modern day people, D.L. Moody, Billy Sunday, Billy Graham, Oral Roberts, A.A. Allen, and on and on and on it goes. They all had personal encounters with God and they all entered into personal covenant with God.
Amen.
Right? D.L. Moody entered into a covenant that he would personally lead one person to the Lord every day.
Amen.
Right? And even though he preached in seminars and crusades and all sorts of things, see thousands of people get saved, he still went out to get one-on-one person saved. Why was he doing that? To keep his covenant with God intact. It gives you a certainty. You are in connection with God, in agreement with God for this to happen. I married my wife. We entered into covenant until death do us part. Covenant. And so I went on with Jesus. My amplified Bible at home. When I understood what was happening, I wrote my covenant with God in the front of my Bible. And then I realized that I probably left something out, so I put right at the back, and I included the whole book. And signed it because I didn't want to miss out on anything, you know. And the most prolific thing that I was dealing with was being led down the garden path and becoming ashamed. Right? God, if you tell me to do that, then you better do it, because if you don't do it and I get shamed, that's it, it's over. My history was always people would back out, quit, leave you, hold in the bag, take off, you know, have their fun. You know, it's like people that come to a party and then leave. And you've got to clean everything up, you know what I mean? So you think, okay, right, God, you're telling me to stick my neck out here. If you're telling me to stick the neck out here, I want to know. What did Abraham have to do? Didn't Abraham say, well, how do I know that you're going to give me an heir? What have I got to show that that's going to happen? Do you understand? Like, you're asking me to do this. That's huge. Some of the things that the Lord's asked me to do earlier on, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, dear me, I'd say, who else has ever done this? He sent me an autobiography. Every month, on the month, he sent me an autobiography. They'd come from everywhere. I didn't buy them, he sent them. And everywhere in that book, I'd find what it was that I was confronted with. I turn the pages 10 years later and I see what happened. So after that, I said, okay, I'll do what you asked me to do. But do you see what I'm saying? Like, you have to build. I've been married now nearly 51 years. My understanding of my wife and partnering with my wife today versus when we first got married, it's the union we have now is so one that it's, you know, it's amazing. And when I first started with it, you see, I've got to get to know her.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. I'm glad I did because she's awesome. The best wife for me on the planet. Yeah. So I'm very, very thankful and grateful to God for my wife. But there needs to be that engagement so that you have the confidence. Faith is confidence. Faith is trust. Faith is dependence. You see, like you're dependent on them to do what they are committed to do. If they do what they are committed to do and you do what you're committed to do, bang, you get a result, right? Also, if I'm not in right submission, it voids it. And you see it when you have attacks from the enemy come at you and there's no repellent. There's no fear for the enemy to come into your presence. There should be fear for him to come anywhere near you because of who is in you and who is on you. Okay, so I said all of that. To get to this part where we put on the whole armor of God. Now, dealing with submission here right now, James 4:7, that's leading into this, it's imperative that you make the decision to properly align yourself under the Almighty God and His authority. So I need to align myself properly with under the authority of God. So I've got to get under the authority of God. Yes. Now, a lot of people love God. There's no two ways about it. They love God, but they don't fear Him. They just haven't got it through their thick head that you're going to have to give an account to him. And it's registered numerous occasions in the Bible, in the New Testament, where we have to give an account to Jesus Christ for the purpose he put us on the planet for.
Amen.
Right? They dismiss that. If I'm in submission, he says, you know, the Epistle of John, he talks there very explicitly. How do I perfect the love of God in my life? Through obedience to the word of God. What's that got to do with emotions? Nothing. Not a thing. If you love me, you'll obey me. You know, Jesus said to that woman that said, blessed is the woman whose breast you fed from. He said, far more blessed are those who hear what I say and do it. So it's all, you follow it? Now, is that harsh? Is that legalism or something? No, he says, the path into life is narrow and very few find it. So when I come under the authority of God and I start to obey his word, it leads me straight into that promised lifestyle that he's come to give us, that abundant lifestyle, more life than we know what to do with. Why? Because of the rivers of living water that flow up from the Holy Spirit in me. You see, How many spirits, you see, like, the Holy Spirit is in my spirit. He's in your spirit. We are one. We're one. So there's one spirit in my body. Yeah, it's holy. And we've been recreated in the image of Christ. But we have to renew our mind, renew the soul to the image of Christ in us. And he tells us that we become like him as we behold him. So when we are beholding him, we begin to build the correct self-image. Right? So whatever he did, we can do. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. What that means is that everything he has, I have. So there's no shortage and there's no power shortage. So there's no resource shortage and there's no power shortage. But there is an issue about submission. Right? So people say to me, oh, you are so intense, Paul. And I said, well, not really. If you had met Jesus like I had, you find out that he's wanting you to do what he's asked you to do. And there is no excuses. You know, there's a very pertinent scripture that says, some make it by the skin of their teeth into heaven, into the presence of God, but they suffer loss. Why? Because they haven't fulfilled what they've been put on the planet for. Right? And they say, you're intense. Yes, well, I've never taken my eye off the ball. I've never taken my eye off what the assignment is. I continue to stay resolute in the endeavor that Christ gave me. I'm staying right on course, right on track, and not veering off it by the grace of God. So that makes you intense. Why are you intense? Because you're not interested in the froth and bubble. You're not interested in the circus acts. You're interested in fulfilling the course. And you find out you don't have the time to spare. Yes. Yes. So it causes you, in the opinion of a froth and bubble, to be intense. But it is, I have decided to follow Jesus. That's the intensity. It's not trying to be one-ups on somebody or any other thing. It's just simply that I was dying. He gave me life. And he wants it back. Yeah, I know where I was going. Hell. And you didn't save me. He did. So it doesn't bother me what you think about me. What bothers me is what Jesus thinks about me. All right. So it's imperative that we stay properly aligned under the authority of God in a submitted position that actually provides you with the protection. So if I'm not obedient to the word, okay, so how does that come about? We've got a brother or sister that's in need and we hear what the need is, and if we've got the ability to meet that need and then we say, oh, God bless them, you know, and withhold. Well, the epistle of John chapter 3 tells us that the love of God's not in us. It's not in us. So love is an action word. It's an action word. Okay. And so there's two ways of looking at everything, right? The natural and the spirit. So I'm looking to get God's eyes on how to deal with the situation at hand. Right? And he says, if you've got two coats and a brother or sister hasn't got a coat, you give them a coat. That's simple, isn't it? So you've got, so then what's it? It prepares you to start thinking this way. Well, if I have extra, what's the extra for? Who is it for? And so when you start to ask that sort of question, then the Holy Spirit will tell you, do this. And 9 times out of 10, it leads you into a position where you end up having the opportunity to lead that person to the Lord.
Amen.
How many people out there that are calling on the unknown God, and God's looking for a laborer to be his arms and legs?
Amen.
You're right.
Amen.
Now, a person's response is their responsibility, not yours. So if they reject Christ, they reject Christ. That's all right. But a seed's been sown. How many people? You know, I've had men come up to me that have been in prison. And in prison, they received one of our tracts. And they hung onto that tract like it was a rescue thing, you know. And they prayed the prayer of salvation. And they come out. They hunt me down, and they told me, thank you for sending in that tract. Thank you for printing that tract. Not only did I get saved, but my salvation kept me safe in a very ugly place. I am so glad that Jesus is real and he protected me. And so thank you. For sending the good news. Right? And I said to him, wasn't just me, mate. There's a team of us that sacrifice to put this money together to be able to have these printed so that you can get these in prison, etc. You know? Yeah. So glory to God and thank God for the team.
Amen.
Okay, so by submitting to God's authority, it gives you the ability to defy and oppose and stand steadfastly against and withstand the accusing slanderer and his traps that he constantly brings against us. In fact, the devil will be so terrified of you that he'll move his feet as fast as he can to get away from you. Not only will he flee from you, he'll run like a criminal terrified of prosecution, so scared that he'll endeavor to put as much space between himself and you as possible.
Amen.
You're right. So, is there an incentive for getting this submission thing right with Almighty God? I believe there is. Because that's the kind of authority you have when you're correctly aligned with God's authority and his word. If the devil isn't fleeing from you, you're not resisting properly, you're not hid in Christ. So Colossians 3:3 tells us that we're hid in Christ. To be hid in Christ is to have that full armor of God on. You're right? So that full armor of God on is where we get hid in Christ. And then you find that Psalm 91:1-11 start to function. Okay, so the devil isn't fleeing from you. He's fleeing who you are in union together with, your covenant partner, the greater one within you. John 1:4, as we looked at. Now that word resisting is to actively fight against. Right? And so we've been instructed that our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in high places.
Amen.
And he instructs us in 1 Timothy 6:12 that we are to fight the good fight of faith. So the what we are doing then is dealing in the spirit realm where the enemy is conducting his maneuvers. We deal with that with the shield of faith and the Holy Ghost sword, right? It's capital S. The sword of the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's in me, and he needs to inhabit the words of God that I speak. So when I'm in agreement with him, I'm speaking and he's speaking, and then it becomes that double-edged sword.
Amen.
Right? That shield of faith, and then the decree of authority that's coming out of you, submitted to God, full authority, strong in the might of Almighty God.
Hallelujah.
Having taken the whole armor of God. So my self-image should be that. I am hid in Christ.
Oh.
What a different picture that makes. All right. Let's go to Ephesians 6. Is this helping? I'm in the Amplified. In conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with him. Draw your strength from him, that strength which his boundless might provides. 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. My grace is sufficient for thee. For when you're weak, then you are strong. So when you're weak, you get under my authority, then this might of Almighty God starts earthquakes. Breaks chains, opens prison doors, converts the jailer in his whole house, and produces a powerful covenant church in partnership with the Apostle Paul to promote the gospel through the known world at that time. What a mighty work. What a mighty work. And we've got to learn to work in partnership with the Holy Spirit. And if we haven't got the right self-image in Christ, well, mate, if we're not in the right submission, the power's turned off.
Amen.
Okay, so verse 11. Put on God's whole armor, the armor of a heavily armed soldier which God supplies, that you may be able to successfully stand up against all the strategies, say strategies,
strategies,
and the deceits of the devil. He lies. For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotisms, against the powers. See, it's not only against physical opponents. So when the devil gets a hold of a person and starts using them like a puppet, he'll cause people to come against you. But that's why he says, look, Satan is using these people to come against you. They're talking behind your back. They're gossiping. They're stealing from you. They're threatening you. They're doing all these sorts of things, right? They can be causing you trouble at your workplace. It could be a client that is a problem child. Any of these things, a business person, a client of a business that hasn't paid their money, outstanding accounts, there's causing pressure to come on. You're right, you approach them and they're giving you all sorts of excuses and no money. And you've got creditors. See, so is it that person's being used to put pressure on you? But the pressure on you is to break you and to have you respond to it like Elijah's servant. Ah, I am going down the tube, bankrupt's at the door, I can't get anything to work or to flow. And Elijah says, open their spiritual eyes. God already knows what you have before you ask. And he's already made the provision.
Amen.
All you got to do is open your eyes.
Amen.
How do you do that? Pray.
Yes.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Open my spiritual eyes, Lord. Reveal to me what it is that I need to do, and I'll obey. Okay. But against the despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere. Right, so we've got to lift our weaponry just above the head of those people that are being used and blast these spiritual beings that are playing havoc through these people.
Amen.
And release them and pray for their salvation. Okay, verse 13. Therefore, put on God's complete armor. So we have in verse 11, put on God's whole armor, verse 11. And in verse 13, it says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. So he's telling me that when I am in these precious situations, absolutely essential that I am in the armor of God. Right? And to take it. So if I'm to take it, it's available.
Yes.
You know how they have those reels on Facebook and stuff? I was responded to some of the people on the Facebook, and on come this promotional ad thing about one of these superhuman heroes that had armor. And he was out of his armor, and he's calling for his armor to come. And the next thing, bang, this arm piece comes and jumps on there, and then a shoe. And so with those two things, he was able to untie himself, get off and fend off the first part, and then another part of the armor coming, another part of the armor coming in. And then when it was all on him, then he was able to defeat all of that was against him, you know. But it just amused me. He's calling for it, and it's not happening, you know. It's a delay, and he's getting the worst for wear. But as it starts coming, the point was it was available, and he was calling for it. Just because it didn't come the first time or the second time or the third time, it didn't stop him calling for it. And it started coming. Do you follow?
Yes.
Okay. I got to know that it's available to take.
Yes.
So if I know it's available to take, I want a new pair of jeans. I go to where they sell jeans. Then I go in that store and I look for jeans, you know, like, and they're there. And I've got to know my size, et cetera, et cetera. Then I go and take and try on a pair of jeans, right? And then if they fit, I take them to the counter and pay for them, right?
Yep.
Okay. So Jesus paid for this armor. He paid for it, so it's available, so I can take it. But it's powerful. It's powerful because it represents you being in submission to Almighty God. You don't have the confidence to take it unless you are in submission. If you don't realize how powerful it is, why would you take it seriously? Why would you take the armor of God seriously if you had no concept of the power of it? But when you respect it and you take it and put it on, how do I put it on? I live it.
Yes.
I live it.
Yes.
How do I know when the Word of God is alive in me? When I'm doing it. When I am doing it, not knowing it, doing it. Therefore, put on God's complete armor, that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger. And having done all the crisis demands, to stand firmly in your place. Okay, so you've got, your husband has given you a bad time, or your wife's given you a bad time. What's he say? Forgive him. Right? Yeah, well, you don't know what they're doing. They're beating the living daylights out of me. Well, what does the Bible tell me to do about that? Am I fighting against my husband or my wife? Am I fighting against my husband or my wife?
No.
No, but you see, if I'm Elisha's servant, I'm going to be saying, yeah, but that mongrel, he blah, 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 blah. I can't stand it anymore. But if I'm in right submission to God, and I take the armor of God, and then I call on the name of the Lord to deliver me, instantaneous response.
Amen.
God doesn't like anybody messing with children. And he doesn't like anybody messing with marriage covenant.
Mm-hmm.
It's holy.
Yes.
And it's wholly protected. But somebody has to call on the name. Somebody has to get the supernatural in there.
Yes.
Yes. And but we always have these people. Well, I tried that and it didn't work. I have refused to marry more people than I've married. First question I ask them is, do you have permanent work? Do you have the finance? Can you afford this? Do you know what you're getting into? Good, bad, or ugly? In health, bad health? Yeah.
Says
the Lord. Yeah. You don't try marriage. Well, if I don't like it, I'll get a divorce. No, if you don't like it and you get a divorce, you are in adultery. And it's a curse. And you have to deal with that. You have to deal with that. So if I want the blessing of God, I have to do it God's way. So if it is come to that place where I'm not doing what he's told me to do, you see, stand therefore, hold your ground, having tightened the belt of truth around your loins. Now look at this. Go back to 13. Therefore, put on God's complete armor that you may be able to resist and stand your ground. What ground? The blood of Christ's ground. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith on the blood covenant authority of Almighty God.
Amen.
Touch not God's anointed.
Amen.
There's no devil in anybody that's going to resist God in you when you stand on the blood and on the word of faith.
Hallelujah.
None. None. And an instantaneous response. God opened up my ears to hear children screaming, being abused by pedophiles. Horrible, horrible, horrible decadence. And they were screaming. And that's when God told me to go to Queensland to do that. He said, Paul, I have to hear these screams. And I'm looking for somebody to do something. That's why we're always endeavouring to put the Word of God into houses. He told me, he said, you put the Word of God in the houses and the Holy Spirit will convict them. You put the Word in the house and he can do his job. If you don't put the Word in the house, there's nothing there for him to work on. If nobody's praying for you, you're in trouble. Thank God for people to pray for people to be saved. Do you know what I mean? Pray for your street, pray for your suburb, pray for your city, pray for your nation. Somebody needs to be praying, and somebody else then needs to get the gospel message out there.
Amen.
So that the full outworking of the gospel can happen. He says that the sower of the word and the reaper of the word receive the same reward. It always looks greater for the people who are doing the reaping because they're seen to be doing it. Whereas the sower is unseen. But nevertheless, in heaven, boyo, it's the same reward. And in heaven, they'll be absolutely rejoicing at the sower who sacrificed to sow. Okay? So to be able to sow the word of the kingdom is such a privilege. Such a privilege. Such a privilege. Are we going to do it? You see, so this is the thing. How do I handle any of these situations? Well, I have to handle them God's way. Okay? So I tried that and it didn't work. So if the Word of God discerns the intent and the motive of the heart, it could be that, man, I'm sick of this, I'm going to have a divorce. So now I'm looking for something to give me plausible reason for divorce. There's only one reason for divorce. Unfaithfulness. And there's a consequence otherwise. You father. When I'm weak, my grace is sufficient. Oh, I can't love them. Or the other thing is, well, I don't love them anymore. Well, if you don't love them anymore, you never loved them. It's a commitment. Therefore, put on God's complete armor that you may be able to resist. And remember that word resist, I'll find it, is to actively fight against in the Greek, to actively fight against. Not passive. That's what Jesus said, I give you authority over the power of the enemy. Right? Over all the power of the enemy. And nothing by any means shall harm you. Well, either that is true or he's a liar. I found it to be true. I've had guns stuck in my face. They're shaking like crazy, like trying to pull that trigger. They couldn't pull the trigger. I've been attacked by knives and I've been attacked by physical, you know, people trying to do that. And they'll come, but they can't get any closer. They're kicking and punching and throwing. And with the people with the knives, they got stuck. They got frozen in place. And then all the people that was in that particular meeting. So I went out to get a cup of tea after the meeting. And this person was behind the door with a whopping big carving knife, ready to strike me as soon as I went in there. And then they got frozen in the spot, in the thrust. And then all of the people that were in that meeting, there's about 50 of them, they all came through like a museum, you know, like having a look at the... They were stuck, absolutely stuck. I tried to get the knife out. I couldn't get the knife out either. No. So I had to ask God, how do I deal with this? Pray. I said, okay, but what do you... How? What? First bind it in it. Bind the murderous spirit in it. And then speak peace. Okay. So I did, he did, and she did. And then she shook her head and she says, what happened?
Thank you, Lord.
Jeez. But there was people in that meeting that weren't saved, that got saved after they saw that. Crazy. Are we still okay?
Yeah.
All right. So it's not a passive thing. Therefore, put on God's complete armor that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger. And having done all, the crisis demands to stand firmly in your place. Stand therefore and hold your ground. Having tightened the belt of truth around your loins and having put on the breastplate of integrity. Was it 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourself and see if you're still in the faith, right? Examine yourself and see that you are standing on the word. Are you on the word? Are you on the promise that God has given you? You're right? Where do you stand with it? Do you know that it's right? Do you know that he's heard you? Do you know? You got that certainty? A strong belt of truth? So you stand fearless. There's no fear in you. I've done what was required for the covenant. And my covenant partner will not let me down. So you can see how this is working? Stand therefore, hold your ground, having tightened the belt of truth around your loins, so confess it. And having put on the breastplate of integrity. You see, integrity is a spiritual force. And moral rectitude and right standing with God. It's a wonderful thing to be clean. Right standing with God. So I'm in right submission with God. And having shod your feet with a preparation to face the enemy with the firm-footed stability, the promptness and the readiness produced by the good news. So I am allowing the word of God to live in me, and I'm not a hearer only, but I'm a doer of the word. And I'm not a procrastinator. I am prompt to obey the leading of the Spirit. And then he says, verse 16, lift up over all the covering shield of saving faith upon which you can quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked one. So all of the suggestive thoughts that he puts in your head that it's not going to work, that you're not going to get help, that it's going to fall apart, you put them all out because you have truth and you have a covenant. You're in covenant with the living God, and his blood made the way for you, and that blood of Christ means everything to you, and I'm in covenant with him. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword that the Spirit wields, capital S, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword that the Spirit wields, which is the Word of God. So when you get that word in you that you're obeying, that you're living it, and you put that in your mouth, and you come against, you know, poverty, lack, or want, you want to break this thing open because Jesus is my good shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me into green pastures. Green pastures to a shepherd and sheep means, mate, they're going to put the weight on. And so, you know, dinner's coming. Clean, still waters, fresh water, you've got to be able to drink. And then he's the restorer of our soul. He restores a right self-image when it's been broken, when it's been marred, when it's been oppressed, when it's depressed, it's been abused. Right? Can Jesus heal the soul? Yes. Can he heal any level or depth of trauma? Yes. But you've got to give him permission. You've got to work with him. And so when I'm dealing with trauma, my inner image is wrong. And then I find that the armor doesn't fit correctly. I'm not hid in Christ. Right? Grace, I can hear somebody say, grace. Grace will cover you until you have had enough time to to mature. You've got to grow up. You've got to grow up in Christ. You've got to grow up and take the responsibility of what it is to be a believer, to be a son or a daughter of God. You see, we have been given dominion in Christ again. What Adam lost, we have been given back through Christ. And we are to rule and reign with him to establish his kingdom. Right? Now, there's so many kings on the planet but aren't ruling, because they never grown up into the responsibility of it. Haven't taken the responsibility of what it is to have the armor. And we've got to continue to keep growing. And our revelation of truth increases until we are literally the living word. Okay, so take the helmet of salvation and the sword that the Spirit wields, which is the word of God. So that word of God isn't decreed until we decree it. So the Spirit needs me to speak the word, to decree. Kings rule by their words, right? By their words. The king says, I want a ditch dug down the back. The king doesn't go down there and dig it. People go down there and dig it. They do what's said. Well, we have angels that are assigned to us. And they'll do the word of God that comes out of our mouth, inhabited, living, like, in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Now, when it comes out that way, it's the Spirit. Man, what devil can resist him? None. Do you understand that? When I open up my mouth, my God said he'll meet my needs in accordance with his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I have given, and it is given unto me again, good measure pressed down, shaken together, will men give back into my bosom in accordance with the measure I've given out.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Now, I'm saying something. Jesus bore all my sickness and infirmity on the cross, and by his stripes I am healed. There's something, you're right, when I'm believing it and I'm decreeing it authoritatively, it becomes the sword of the Holy Spirit. And there's nothing that can resist it. How do I come to that place? I go to Ephesians chapter 1 and I pray that prayer that the apostle, inspired by the Holy Spirit, gave. That he will open up revelation to me, that I will receive spiritual insight, and I will be partnering with the empowerment of the Spirit of God. I've got to get into this place of alignment through submission. I've got to come to that level of trust when I can actually believe what he says to do will be fruitful. And the reason that I have this wrong self-image is because the root of the old tree that's still in the soul hasn't been plucked up yet. I've got to uproot those deep-seated fears that I have, that minuscule bit of doubt that causes the enemy entrance to negate my faith.
Amen.
It's this. This is what I need to give the Holy Spirit permission to deliver me from, to heal me, and to restore. You right? So that I can be hid in Christ. That I come to that place where he said it, I believe it, it's so.
Amen.
Right? It's not a system, it's relationship. It's not a system. We have laws that govern the spirit realm that operate in the kingdom, that gives us the certainty through his integrity that if I apply it, it'll manifest. So there's laws there. But the only way that I see them and I can enter into them is through relationship. Jesus is the door into the kingdom. I can't operate in the kingdom without Jesus. And the Holy Spirit in me is the same as Jesus. Right? He wants to inspire my thinking. He wants to inspire my sight. He wants to inspire my hearing. Okay. Almost finished. Verse 18. Pray at all times, on every occasion, and every season in the Spirit. Capital S, Holy Spirit. Pray at all times, on every occasion, and every season in the Holy Spirit, or inspired by the Holy Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. So if you're getting hit with something, other people are being hit with the same thing. So that's key for you. We go back to Job. Job was told to reverse the curse that was on his life, to pray for his friends. So when he prayed for his friends, then the blessing came back on him. And he received twice as much as he lost.
Hallelujah.
Okay?
Amen.
So he's telling us a key here, a spiritual key. Don't think you're the only one that's having trouble with finance right now. If you want to break the thing, do what the word says. You remind God. You say, Father, you've told me here to pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, 26, 27 says, when I don't know what to pray to break open the situation, pray in the Spirit. Right? Pray inspired by the Spirit with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance. Perseverance is a word they don't have in their vocabulary these days. Perseverance. Interceding in behalf of the saints, of all the saints, God's consecrated people. Okay. And so I can put that there and say, okay, you're telling me I need to pray for them that are in the same type of situation as me, and I'm reminding you what you did for Job, and I'm looking for you to do the same thing for me as you did for Job. So I'm praying with the expectation that you blessed Job with, for the blessing to come on the people who are going through the same thing I am, that the blessing of Job will come on them and on me, in Jesus' name. So the enemy maneuvers through whatever means, right? Through whatever means, could be illness, it could be death, it could be injury, it could be financial stuff, it could be a loss of a job, whatever it is that you've got. Okay, I start praying knowing my God knows what I need before I ask, that he's made provision, but he's telling me how to connect. Do you follow? So when I get hit with a headache, someone else in the church has got a headache. Okay, now that church could be in South Africa. I don't know how many people have come to me from other foreign countries that have met me and they've said, I've been praying for you for years. Never thought I'd meet you in the flesh. Isn't it amazing? So it doesn't matter. If I get a headache, I pray. And cast it off, break it, and break it off whoever else has got the headache. Right? Okay. Can God do that?
Yes.
Yes. He sure can. Okay. So that's good. That is good. That's good. That's good. All right. That armor is awesome, isn't it?
Amen.
I think so. Got to learn how to use it better. And we're not hitting Christ to be hidden, or to stay in, or not be engaged in what's required to break free. King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table, they got suited up to war. Not to have a picnic. Not to go swimming. But to war. And the one thing for sure is, the devil don't have any holidays. And as the Apostle Peter said, he goes to and fro looking for a lamb chop that he can devour. So a Christian that does not have their armor through right submission, emanating this kind of glory of God, they're just looking like a choice lamb chop ready to be devoured. Well, I don't want to be that person. I want to be the person that he sees me coming from miles away and runs in terror. Right? Praise God. So, Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for supernatural recall on the word, and we praise you, Almighty God, for releasing revelation and the grace of your spirit to enable the people to get a hold of it and to apply it in their daily lives in Jesus' name. And we give you praise and glory for all that you're doing and done now. And for those in marital issues and problems and challenges, I pray, Father, for supernatural intervention in the relationship. I pray, Father, that the troublemaker be bound. We put a muzzle in the situation and rebuke all the oppression, all of the captivity that is there in Jesus Christ's name. And Father, I thank you that you open their ears, both their ears in Jesus' name, and that they speak heart to heart through Jesus, and that they hear one to the other. And those who are given to physical abuse, domestic violence, we take authority over the demonic in the husband or the wife in Jesus Christ's name, and render you bound in Jesus' name. We pray, Father, that you open up their eyes to seek that deliverance that's necessary to change lifestyle. And we thank you, Father, for changing their disposition, that they'll be willing to change lifestyle. And we thank you, Father, we're asking you right now for that supernatural, instantaneous miracle, for a change in attitude in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, and for the atmosphere in that place to be peace. So we speak peace into that household in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Peace in Jesus' name. And drive out all trauma from the whole of the premises in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. And seal it in the blood. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Well, God bless you. God bless you. And the Lord keep you. And I pray that your fellowship with the Holy Spirit be accurate, and that you grow exceedingly, and that you be established in peace and wisdom and insight in Jesus' name. God bless you.